Letters of John Huss, Letter Number 3. To Master Martin and to Master Nicholas of Mylyzyn, Mylyzyn. He consults them on the subject of the interdiction pronounced against him from the pulpit. May peace be with you, that peace that is not given with the world, with the flesh, and the devil. The Lord has said, "You shall have tribulations in the world, but if you persevere in well-doing, who can do you harm?" I burn with an ardent zeal for the gospel, and my soul is sad, for I know not what to resolve on. I have meditated on the evangelical words of our Savior, John chapter 10. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. I have also meditated on these words from St. Matthew, chapter 10. But when they persecute you in one city, flee ye into another. On these two precepts, so different to each other, which ought I to follow? I know not. I have meditated on the letter of St. Augustine to an illustrious bishop who consulted him in a like case. Augustine thus terminates his answer. He takes flight and does not deprive, in so doing, his church of evangelical ministry, does what the Lord has commanded him. But he who, in his flight, takes away spiritual food from the flock of Jesus Christ is a hireling, who, when he sees the wolf approaching, fleeth, because he careth not for his sheep. It is because thou hast consulted me, well-beloved brethren, that I write these things, which appear to me to be according to both truth and charity. But I bid thee not to follow my counsel if thou findest the better. What can be more advisable in such an extremity than to offer our prayers to God to have pity on us after the example of some holy men who have obtained by their prayer not to abandon the Church of Christ, who have persevered in their good resolution, even in the very teeth of their enemies? Such is the opinion of St. Augustine. Inform me, then, if you acquiesce in these words, for although the necessary ailment of God's word is not wanting to my flock, my conscience reproaches me with my absence as a scandalous act. I fear, on the other hand, that my presence during the term of my interdiction might be the means of tearing this fruit away from my flock, and of depriving them of the Holy Communion and other advantages which concern salvation. Therefore, let us pray humbly to Almighty God, that He may deign to reveal to us what I ought to do in the present circumstance, in order that I may dwell in the right way. The advice that the blessed St. Augustine expresses in his letter is wise. He establishes, in fact, that in circumstances where we may be anxious for ourselves alone, flight is permitted, and he cites on the point the example of St. Athanasius, A-T-H-A-N-A-S-I-U-S. But should the whole flock be exposed, we must resign ourselves to our lot in order to do what may prove most useful to the church. End of letter number 3. Letter number 4 to the Rector of the University of Prague. Venerable Rector, I have received great consolation from your letter, in which you declare, amongst other things, that the just man shall not be afflicted, whatever may befall him, from which you infer that temporal tribulations and my separation from my friends ought not to discourage me, neither sadden nor cast me down, but on the contrary, should fortify and make me glad. I accept with gratitude this consolation. I cling to the words of the Scripture and say, if I am just, no trouble, whatever it may be, could sadden me, so as to turn me from the path of truth. If I live and wish to live wholly in Christ, it is necessary that I suffer persecution in the name of Christ. For as it was necessary that Christ should suffer in order to enter into glory, we also should bear our crosses, miserable beings as we are, and should imitate him in his passion. I protest then, Venerable Rector, that I have never felt myself overwhelmed by persecution, that I am only borne down by my sins and by the errors of the Christian people. What indeed are the riches of the world to me? What affliction can their loss cause me? What is it to me to lose the favor of the world which makes us swerve from the path of Christ? What signifies infamy, which, when supported with humility, proves, purifies, and illuminates the children of God in such a manner that they shine and radiate like a bright sun in his Father's kingdom? And lastly, what is death if this miserable life be torn from me? He who loses it in this world triumphs even over death and finds true life in the next. But men, blinded by luxury, vainglory, and ambition, understand not these things. Others are turned away from the truth by fear and languish on in a strange perplexity, deprived of charity, patience, and of every other virtue. On the one hand, they are urged on by knowledge of the truth, and on the other by the fear of losing their reputation or of exposing their wretched bodies to death. For my own part, I will expose mine to it, I trust, with the assistance of our Lord Jesus Christ, if his mercy comes to my assistance, for I do not desire to live in this corrupted age unless I can lead to repentance myself and others according to the will of God. This is what I ardently desire for you, and I exhort you as well as all those united to you to hold yourselves ready for the combat, for behold, already appear the preludes to the beginnings of the Antichrist. The combat is near, and the poor bird must flap his wings against the wings of Bemoth and against this tail of Antichrist that always endangers abominations. The prophet has shown it to us when he declares that he who teaches falsehood is the tail of Antichrist, and a grave old man is the head. The Lord will confound both one and the other. He will confound the Pope and his preachers, his officers and his doctors, who under a false name of holiness conceives abominations. What greater abomination is there than that of the prostitute who abandons herself publicly to every corner? Nevertheless, the abomination is greater still of him who, sitting in high places, offers himself as if he were God to the adoration of all, traffics in spiritual things, and sells all that he possesses not. Woe then unto me if I preach not against such an abomination. Woe unto me if I weep not, if I write not against it. Can you find one man for whom such things are not a calamity? Already the great eagle takes its flight and cries to us, woe, woe, to the inhabitants of the earth. End of letter 4. The letters of John Huss. Letter 5. To John Barbat. B-A-R-B-E-T. Huss consoles him and justifies himself by exposing why he preferred obeying God, who had commanded him to preach to the Pope, to the Archbishop, and all those who had prohibited him from doing so. I salute you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have learned by my beloved friends your grievous affliction. Look upon it as for your good, for it is to bring to light your firmness and your consistency that you have fallen into various temptations. I also, my very dear friend, have been tempted, and I rejoice at last that I am called heretic for the gospel's sake, and excommunicated like a rebellious and wicked man. To fortify in me the sweet calm of my soul, I have called to mind the life and work of Christ and the apostles. Acts chapter 4. I remembered in what manner Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all the kindred of the high priest, when they addressed the apostles, prohibited them from speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. But Paul and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And when the same priest prohibited them a second time from preaching, they replied, Acts chapter 5, We ought to obey God rather than man. It is true that the pagans, the Jews, and the heretics all regulate their conduct on this precept of obedience that is due unto God. Alas, this maxim blinds those who are not Christians, but not the apostles nor the true disciples of Christ. St. Jerome says, If a master or a bishop prescribes what is not contrary to the faith or the scriptures, the servant should obey. But if he commands what is contrary to these, we must rather obey the master of the soul than the master of the body. And in another place he adds, If the emperor orders you to do that which is good, execute the will of the emperor. Should he require you to do ill, answer, It is better to obey God than man. St. Augustine, who also says in his Sermon of the Words of the Lord, If my earthly presence commands that which you ought not to do, despise this power and fear a higher one. Consider the different degrees of human power. Do you obey the under officer if the proconsul orders you the contrary? And if the proconsul orders you to do one thing and the emperor another, would you attempt to disobey the latter for the former? If the commander commands you to do that which is prohibited by God and despise the emperor and obey God, we ought then to resist the power of the devil or of men when they suggest anything against God, and in doing so we resist not, but obey even God's commands. Such are the sentiments of St. Augustine. Gregory also says in his last treatise on morality, Know therefore that evil should never be done from mere obedience. St. Bernard writes in one of his letters, To do evil after the orders of anyone is not to obey, but just to disobey. And Saint Isidore, Isidore, maintains that if he who is in authority does and orders a thing which is not according to the Lord, or violates the written law, and orders it to be overstepped, to him ought to be applied these words of Saint Paul. If an angel should descend from heaven and preach to you a gospel different from that which we preach, let him be accursed. He also declares that whoever forbids you to do what is commanded by the Lord ought to be held in execration by all who love the Lord. He ought to be regarded as a false witness and a sacrilegious person. It would appear from these words that these names are applicable to those who interdict the preaching of the divine word, and that such persons are excommunicating according to the words of the prophet, Cursed be those who resist thy commandments. Jerome expresses the same feeling as is experienced by myself when he thus writes to Rusticus, Rusticus, Bishop of Narbonne, Narbonne. Let no bishop abandon himself to envy and anger through an internal jealousy, because the priests exhort the people, preach in the churches, and bless the multitude. I declare then to those who prohibit me to do these things, that he who interdicts priests from doing that which God commands, professes himself to be superior to Jesus Christ. Bede, B-E-D, in speaking of our Savior, repeats this passage. Go ye into the village that is over against you, and immediately you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with him. Loose them, and bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, say ye, The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will let them go. Jesus Christ, says Bede, teaches realistically the doctors by these words that if they meet with any obstacle, if anyone prevents them from freeing sinners from the bonds of the devil, from drawing them to God and confessing the faith, they ought not for this reason to renounce preaching his word, but should on the contrary continue to insinuate it into their souls, for the Lord has need of such laborers to edify his church. Who could in fact quote all that the saints have written when teaching us that it is better to obey God than man? Our oppressors oppose to us these words. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Matthew 23. But they are reduced to silence by the prohibition which follows. But do not ye after their works. God says, Deuteronomy chapter 24, do according to all that the priests of the Levites shall teach you, as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. The Lord desires, therefore, that he who obeys should only do so after his own commandments. It is also said, 1 Peter chapter 2, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And the apostle further adds, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. Not, however, in things in which they are wickedly inclined, for that would be to obey the devil. The will of God and the Scriptures, therefore, teach us that obedience to superiors is obligatory only in lawful matters. I have clung firmly to this truth, and have preferred in my sermons to inculcate obedience to God, rather than to the Pope and the Archbishop or any others that may oppose these sayings of Christ. I put my name to these words in order to teach you how to confront the emissaries of the devil. End of letter 5. The letters of John Huss. Letter number 6 to the believers in Prague. John Huss, the servant of Jesus Christ in hope, to all those who love God, who confess his law in expectation of the Savior, with whom they desire to live for all eternity. Grace be with you, and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who offered himself as a victim for our sins, to deliver us from this world of affliction and from eternal damnation, according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Dear beloved, having learned your zeal and your progress in the Word of God, I render thanks unto the Lord that he has united to enlighten you to such a point that perceive the frauds of Antichrist and his ministers. You may not allow yourselves to be turned away from the truth. I feel a lively confidence that his mercy will crown the work of regeneration commenced in you, and that he will not permit you to turn aside from the truth, whence many diverge through fear of danger, apprehending man, a weak sinner as he is, and more than the all-powerful God, who has power both to kill and to bring to life, to destroy and to save, to preserve his faithful believers in the midst of grave and numerous perils, and to give them in exchange for a brief space of suffering eternal life of inexpressible happiness. Wherefore, beloved, do not let yourselves be borne down by terror, and do not be frightened if the Lord should tempt some of you by allowing the ministers of the Antichrist to exercise the tyranny over you. God himself has said to his servant, Proverbs 3, be not afraid of sudden fear, nor the power of the wicked falling upon thee. For the Lord will be at thy side, and will keep thy foot, and thou be not taken. And he has also said, by the mouth of his prophet David, I am with him in his day of trial. I will deliver him. Knowing that, dearly beloved, consider what St. James, that it is fortunate for you to fall into various temptations, because the trial of your faith worketh in you patience, and that contributes to render you perfect and entire, failing in nothing. St. James also says, blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is proved, he shall receive the crown of life, which God has promised to them that love him. Remain steadfast, therefore, in the truth, and act in everything like true children of God. Have full confidence, for Christ has overcome, and you will overcome also. Remember always him who suffered so much at the hands of sinners. Relax not in your good resolution, but laying down together with the whole burden of your sins, rush to the combat with your eyes fixed steadfastly on Jesus, who established our faith, and who, for a glorious object, despising shame, suffered the enmity of the cross and is now seated at the right hand of God. The Creator, the King, the Sovereign Master of the world, without being forced to it by his divine nature, humbled himself, notwithstanding his perfection, to our nature. He came to the assistance of us wretched sinners and supported hunger and thirst and cold and heat and fatigue and want of sleep. He suffered, whilst instructing us sorrow and grave affronts from the priests and scribes to such a point that they called him a blasphemer and declared him to be possessed of a devil, averring that he was not God, whom they excommunicated as a heretic, whom they drove out of the city and crucified like one accursed. If, then, Christ supported such things from the priest, he who healed all kinds of diseases without any earthly recompense by his word alone, who cast out devils, raised the dead, and taught the word of God, who never did injury to anyone, who committed no sin, and who endeavored and endured to everything from his enemies because he discovered their wickedness. If he supported such things, why should we be astonished that the ministers of Antichrist, who are more facetious, more debauched, more cruel, and more cunning than the Pharisees, now persecute the servants of God, overwhelm them with insult, excommunicate, imprison, and kill them? Remember what our Lord and our King said, "If the world hate you, know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love you as being of it. But because you are not of the world, and because I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember what I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they have not known him who sent me." Remember also the prophecy of our divine Savior, who declares that his elect will suffer persecution from the world, that is, from the wicked, who know neither God the Father nor our Lord Jesus. For although they confess with their lips that they know God, yet they deny him by their reprobate actions. It is of them that St. Paul spoke to Titus, when he declared that their works of symmetry, debauchery, and the contempt of the world of God, placing human traditions above the word of God, and performing no work of humility, charity, temperance, and Christian love. Therefore it is that the wicked will not cease to persecute the saints as long as the war lasts between Christ and Antichrist. For St. Paul has told us that all who desire to live purely in Christ shall suffer persecution, but the wicked shall advance in the path of perdition, always deceived and deceiving others. Paul teaches us by these words that all pious men will suffer persecution for Christ's sake. The wicked will be seduced and will seduce others, and their heart will swell with malice from their own destruction. It is of them that our Savior has spoken in these words, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. They shall scourge you. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. This persecution shall last till the day of judgment." The Lord spoke in this way to his disciples, in order that they might, if possible, escape from such evils. He elevated their understanding that they might be prudent and might be able to recognize by their works the devouring wolves, whose velocity would swallow up the whole world. He also showed them by what signs they might know false prophets, the latter not agreeing with the true prophets, either in the explanation of the Holy Scriptures or in their works. There are false Christs, calling themselves the chief disciples of Christ, and yet who prove themselves by their works to be his greatest adversaries. They will seek by every means to smother and suppress the word of God, for it condemns their insolence, pride, avarice, A-V-A-R-I-C-E, simony, and other evil works. They have made an interruption into the church and places of worship to prevent the word of God being preached there. But Jesus Christ has not permitted them to bring their criminal undertaking to a prosperous end. I understand that they intend destroying the chapel of Bethlehem and that they indict sermons in other places where the Word of God is taught. But I feel a firm confidence that God will not permit them to succeed. They wanted to intertwine the simple bird and the snare of citations and anathemas, and they have already set their ambush even for some of you. But if that bird, which is a mere domestic fowl whose flight is circumscribed and far from lofty, has broken through their nets, how much more will other birds that soar aloof as they announce the word of God despise such ineffectual willies? They will have thrown their nets and displayed their anathemas like the image of a bird of prey to cast terror all around. They have flung about their fierce darts from the quiver Antichrist in order to prohibit the word of God and his worship. But the more they strove to disguise their real nature, the more they rendered it visible. And in seeking to stretch forth their traditions like nets, they broke them to pieces in their anxiety to gain the peace of the world. They destroyed not only it, but at the same time the spiritual peace, and in their attempts to injure others, they wounded themselves most. What happened to the priests of the Jews has befallen them, for they have lost that which they were endeavoring to retain, and have fallen to that which were striving to avoid. They hope to succeed in stifling and putting down the truth, which always conquers, and they, footnote, Hus alludes here to his own name, which in Bohemia signifies goose, end of footnote, were ignorant that its very essence and characteristic consist in this, that the more attempts were made to dim its luster, the more it shone brightly forth, the greater the endeavor to suppress it, and more it soared aloof. Pontos and Pilate, the scribes and Pharisees, Herod and Pilate, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, formally condemned the truth. They crucified it and buried it, and arose from the tomb and conquered them all, sending forth in its stead 12 preachers of the word. The same truth, instead of acting feeble and inefficiently, has sent to Prague mighty eagles, surpassing all other birds by their piercing sight, and which, by the grace of God, fly aloof in the air, and win over others to Jesus Christ, who will strengthen all those who are faithful to him. He has said, I will always be with you, even unto the end of the world. If then God, the most powerful and just defenders, is with us, what evil work can prevail against us? What fear, what death can separate us from him? In what shall we be the worst, if for his sake we were to lose our friends, the honors of the world, or even our miserable life itself? We shall at last be delivered from our load of misery. We shall receive 100-fold riches, infinitely more precious, friends more dear, delight more perfect, of which death cannot despoil us. For he who dies for Christ will surely partake of the trumpet triumph. He is free from all misery of every kind and enjoys eternal bliss, to which our Lord Jesus Christ designs to conduct us all. Beloved brethren and sisters, no less dear to me, I write you this letter that you may remain fervent in the truth which you have acknowledged, and that you may not pay less attention than before to the word of God on account of the cruel threats of his enemies, for God is faithful to you and will both strengthen you and keep you from evil. In fine, I beseech you, dearly beloved, to pray for those who, with the grace of God, announce the truth. Pray for me also that I may write and preach still more against the malice of hell, and that God will may accord me in this combat that support which is so necessary to order properly to defend his word. You know that I do not hesitate to expose this miserable body to the pearl of death for God's truth, being very well aware that nothing will be wanting to us in his word, and that his gospel must be propagated more and more every day. Moreover, I desire to live for those who suffer violently and who have need of the preaching of the word, in order that the malice of Antichrist may be laid open and the good not be made its victims. I preach, therefore, in other places, and I officiate for those of whom I speak, being convinced that God's will must be accomplished in me, whether I suffer or die by Antichrist. But should I proceed to Prague, I am certain that snares will be there laid for me, that you will be persecuted by my adversaries who serve not God, but prevent others from serving him. We pray to God for them, however, that If any of the elect should happen to be among them, they may be converted to the truth. May God accord you full understanding of these things which I write you. May he grant you perseverance, and may your heart be worthy of all these blessings, through the merits of Jesus Christ, who suffered for us the most cruel and ignominious death, leaving us as an example that we may suffer the same according to his holy word. Amen. End of letter number 6.